Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps. I was there when they crucified my Lord. I held the scabbard when the soldier drew his sword. I threw the dice when they pierced his side. But I see love conquer the great divide. When love the town, welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There are a lot of things that get pinned on Lutherans and Lutheran theology, a lot of things. You guys don't ever say anything about good works, untrue. You guys are Catholic light. Well, I don't know. I guess I'd prefer that you just accuse us of being Catholic, because that would be more accurate. And one of them that we hear from both outside and oddly, inside the circle of Lutheran theology, is that there's an overemphasis on the cross, and that in one form or another, for one reason or another, Lutheran theology needs to move beyond the cross. Maybe move beyond the cross to the resurrection sometimes, move beyond the cross to other teachings of Holy Scripture. You ignore the rest of the Bible because you emphasize the cross too much. Where does this come from? Why are Lutherans accused of this? Is there a fatal flaw in Lutheran theology? Some sort of thing that would lead to this? Dr. Matt Richard joins us for the remainder of this hour to talk about the cross in Lutheran theology. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Gwinner, North Dakota, and he's author of a blog post for Worldview Everlasting titled, Do Lutherans Need to Move Beyond the Cross? Matt, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, thanks, Todd. It's good to be here.
Matt, why is it that Lutherans and Lutheran theology get this one, of all the things get pinned on us, rightly or wrongly, this is one of the most common ones, and that is you guys so overemphasize the cross that you can't move on to other things?
Well, I think there's some truth to that, and I think that's a good thing. I know that my interactions with American evangelicals coming into the church that I'm at now and previous churches that I've been a part of, one thing that has been said to me, every sermon seems to be the same. You always end up with Jesus, dying and bleeding for the forgiveness of sins. And so I would actually argue that that's a good thing. And when you hear that, that's a wonderful thing. And it's something that I think, frankly, why maybe it may bring up a sense of suspect towards Lutherans is it's not something that's really heard of in many other churches. And you look at even our liturgy. Our liturgy points us back to, Christ for us. And what kind of Christ? It's definitely a bleeding and dying Christ for the forgiveness of sins.
So what is meant usually when it is said Lutherans need to move beyond the cross? What's the beyond into which we are supposed to move?
Well, I've actually, I've had that said to me before, and it wasn't maliciously. It was just, a question, well, Pastor, why aren't we moving on beyond the cross? And more specifically, why aren't we moving on to the resurrection? And I think, I ended up calling a friend the other day who's a really good friend, dear friend, pastor, who's a Baptist. And we got visiting about this, and I know he has had some struggles with the crucifixes in general. He's very, I guess you would say, hesitant towards crucifixes, with Jesus on it. He likes the empty cross. And we got visiting about this, and I asked him, I said, well, are you one of those who want to move beyond the cross to the resurrection? And I certainly had heard his preaching before, and he had focused on the atonement quite a bit. And, he went on to share with me that, for different reasons, he doesn't appreciate a crucifix, and obviously coming back to John Calvin and his, their appeal to the way they number the Ten Commandments, the Second Commandments, and they believe it as an idol. But, his reaction to me was, and we both kind of came to the same consensus, that those that want to move on beyond the cross to the resurrection are probably most likely influenced by what we would call this prosperity theology or a glory theology, a theology of glory. And for them, the cross itself, it can be, a little bit unsettling. I mean, when we look at the cross, you know, we see the clamor of the whip, we hear the sound of the hammer and the nails, and it's a painful sight to see and a painful thing to consider. And from a glory theology, it does not look like victory, it looks like defeat. But according to a theology of the cross, we would say that that is God's greatest victory for us as sinful mankind.
So perhaps, I don't want to oversimplify, but for the sake of our conversation here, perhaps sometimes that why don't you move beyond the cross comes from someone's misunderstanding the cross as kind of bad news and the resurrection as the real good news.
Yeah, and you actually see this too in how you know, Good Friday services are preached. I know I was actually thinking back on this here before my coming to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I had attended quite a few evangelical ecumenical services on Good Friday, and about 9 times out of 10, it seemed like, you know, we would get to the cross of Christ dying, and we'd hear the words "It is finished," and instead of having a period and an amen after "It is finished," then automatically the preacher would take us to, you know, Resurrection Sunday, and we could not just stop at the cross. And I think, yeah, I think there's a great misunderstanding that the cross for us as sinners is something that is wonderful. I mean, those words of Jesus saying, "It is finished," man, I mean, it is incredible. What is finished? Our sin is finished. The evil one is finished. Death is finished. The wrath of God towards us is finished. It's all complete. And so, yeah, I think there might be a misconception that, you know, we see the cross as maybe bad news and the resurrection is good news. But, you know, look at the cross. It was suffering, the cup of suffering for Jesus, but for us, it is our salvation.
So you mentioned before the liturgy. Is that why in the Lutheran liturgy the emphasis is so strongly upon Jesus' death?
Yeah. I mean, that's where, I mean, really think about this. I mean, that's where the hope is. I mean, even if you think about the Apostles' Creed, you know, I'm reminded of a confirmation class where we talked about Jesus descending into hell and visiting with confirmation students. Well, why did Christ descend to hell? And I remember one of my young kids, you know, he looked at me, "Pastor," as we were studying, he goes, "Pastor, Jesus went to hell to tap dance on the face of the devil." And in a sense, you know, he was right. It's this proclamation of victory, what he accomplished for us. And so the wounds of Jesus, you know, we will see those, you know, when we are resurrected. We will see in our glorified bodies as we see the Lamb of God. The wounds of Christ will be present ever before us, reminding us what he has done for us. And so, yeah, definitely when we look at the cross, it is definitely a place of victory for us. Where Christ was victorious over sin, death, and the devil, and he was also, you know, received the wrath of God, drank the cup of suffering for us. So it is indeed very good news.
Is there any reason in Lutheran theology to separate Jesus' death from his resurrection?
Well, you know, that's one thing we got to be careful of. You know, we want to make sure that we don't make it like a choice between the cross and resurrection. I think that can be an error, as if we're actually faced with two different options. You know, so it's not like, you know, we're going to be, oh, we are cross people versus maybe the other half of the church being resurrection people. I think a better way of looking at that is that we see the rest of the doctrines in Scripture. We see things like the resurrection. We see everything else in Scripture in light of the cross. I'm reminded of Hermann Sasse. He says that it is always from the cross that everything is understood, because hidden in the cross is the deepest essence of God's revelation. And then he goes on to say that a theology of the cross does not mean that for a theologian the church year shrinks together into nothing but Good Friday. But I love this part. He says, rather, it means that Christians see Christmas and Easter and Pentecost. We see it through Good Friday. In other words, we cannot understand it without Good Friday. So I think that's a good distinction to make.
So when we're talking, someone says, well, we put our emphasis on the cross on Good Friday, then on Easter we leave the cross behind, and we're just going to talk about resurrection. That doesn't make a lot of sense from the perspective of Lutheran theology, does it?
No, it's tied together. I mean, it really is. You know, the resurrection is really, it's this huge validation. You know, the way that I've always talked about it, it's definitely a huge validation of what Christ did on the cross. It's like the stamp of approval or a signature on the dotted line to validate and confirm and cement what Jesus said and did and accomplished through his whole ministry, but especially what he said and did for us at the cross. And so, you know, I'm reminded too, when it comes to the resurrection, the empty tomb, I can remember being a child thinking to myself, coming on Sunday mornings, thinking to myself, oh boy, I'm really glad that the stone gets removed so Jesus can actually get out. And so, but the reality, when we look at the empty tomb, the stone being rolled away, it's rolled away not to let Christ out, it's rolled away to grant us faith that he is not there. And so the resurrection is definitely, it's not pitted against the cross, but in light of the cross, it validates everything that he did. It is an evidence that he is indeed alive, and it points us to the great eschaton, that he is coming back for us. And so it works all together, but by no means do we certainly want to pit the two against each other.
So can you preach Christmas? Can you preach, just talk about the rest of the church here, Pentecost? Can you preach Advent? Can you preach any of these other, the whole season of the seasons of the church year without the cross?
You know, I think it's difficult to do. I mean, I think especially with Christmas, I mean, you know, you think about the theme of Christmas. Well, why was the Son of God born into time and space among us? Why did Jesus take on flesh for us? Well, it leads us to the cross. I mean, that is the mission and purpose of Jesus. I mean, you, for instance, you even look at the Gospel of Mark. The whole Gospel of Mark, it really funnels us to the cross. The conflict increases as you read the Gospel of Mark. The conflict increases. The narrative takes us from the outer skirts of Galilee to Jerusalem, and so it's pulling us in as readers. And then especially this term, Son of God, when we see in the Gospel of Mark, the great identity of Jesus is revealed right at the cross when the Roman soldier looks up at the bloody Savior and says, truly, this is the Son of God. So I would say that the Christian narrative, especially we see in the Gospel of Mark, it actually pulls us to the cross. And so we need to keep that definitely in mind when we preach, that where is the overall overarching narrative of Scripture taking us? It's taking us to that climax of Jesus bleeding and dying for us.
So it's not that the cross, just to kind of clarify here, it's not that in Lutheran theology the cross becomes so large that it overshadows other parts of the church year, other truths of the Christian faith, and we'll talk about here in a minute, other doctrines from Holy Scripture. But in fact, it so dominates that it enlightens those other things rather than overshadow.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. It does shed light on the rest of that. You know, we look at, like I said, the narrative of not only Mark but the whole scriptures as a whole, even going back to Genesis chapter 3, and I love that fancy word, the proto-evangelium, the first gospel of where it's promised to Adam and Eve that there will be one coming, this seed. And yes, Satan, you will strike his heel, but he will crush your head. It is definitely pulling us throughout the scriptures, and then we even see it revealed in Isaiah, the suffering servant. It does pull us to the cross. And so, yeah, other doctrines and other stories within the narrative of Scripture are embedded in this shadow of Jesus dying and suffering for us. And so it does enlighten the rest of our understanding, our rest of our doctrines, if you will.
Would we push it a step further than that, Matt, and say you cannot truly understand any of those other doctrines as Scripture presents them in their proper place in the whole message of Scripture apart from the cross? You can't divorce them from the cross and kind of examine them in abstraction from the cross.
Right, yeah, and I would say that is very true, that it is only through the cross that we see and understand God at work. And Luther picks up on this in his Heidelberg Disputation, I believe it's Theses 20, where he really hits this, that it is only through the cross that we do understand. And we're even reminded of the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, as he lays out the foolishness of the cross compared to, I guess you would say, the Jewish way of of thinking versus also the Greek way, the Gentile type of thinking about wisdom and understanding the Lord. So yes, it is always the theologian of the cross. It looks on everything in life, suffering, trials, victories, joys, the daily life, all of that in our life. Not only that, the events of our life, but the rest of Scripture through the eyes, or I guess you would say through the perspective of Christ dying and bleeding and suffering on our behalf.
Dr. Matt Richard is our guest. We got 10 more minutes with him on this Friday afternoon talking about the cross and Lutheran theology. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Gwinner, North Dakota, author of a blog post for Worldview Everlasting titled, Do Lutherans Need to Move Beyond the Cross? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August is a visual Bible resource. Lutheran Bible Companion contains more than 600 photographs, illustrations, and detailed maps that bring to life biblical times. Find out more about Lutheran Bible Companion at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheran Bible Companion, The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August.
It goes back to our double standard of just assuming that the woman or the mother is the only necessary gender in a child's life, as though men are not contributing anything more than his sperm and his wallet.
The pathologies are shallow music, shallow worship, that because it has a manipulative emotional element is mistakenly perceived as a rich encounter with the Holy Spirit.
God's intention was not to provide codes and secrets, but rather to explain things and to show things clearly.
You can get in a pulpit as a dispensational minister. You can attack unbelieving Protestant liberals. You can attack those who don't take the virgin birth seriously or who don't believe in a bodily return of Christ. But what you can't do is tell the story of Christ from Genesis to Revelation.
Just a little taste of the sound bites we're going to be playing for you in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. When we play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week, we'll play those four sound bites. Then you call, email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and your vote decides which will be Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. We will be giving away a LPR bundle package. We do that every time we play to the listener with the best vote. It's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues, Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. Again, to the listener with the best vote for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program. In the meantime, 10 more minutes with Dr. Matt Richard as we talk about the cross and Lutheran theology. What's always puzzled me, and perhaps you can enlighten me, having come kind of in from the outside into Lutheranism from evangelicalism and on your way in, made a pretty thorough study that phenomenon. People who used to be evangelical now have come to confessional Lutheranism. What do you make of Lutherans who say this? We put too much emphasis on the cross. I once heard a Lutheran pastor preaching on the radio saying, you know, we all know the stuff about Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, and yes, justification is the center. It's our main doctrine. That's all true. But, and then he followed with what the people really needed to hear. What do you make of that, Matt?
Well, I guess I have a big range of emotions that come through me when you share that. It actually grieves me, and it also creates some amount of anger in me, because how can we avoid the cross, or how can we leave the cross? I'm reminded of that old hymn. There's an old hymn that I'm reminded of the lyrics, and it says that we're prone to wander and prone to leave the God that we love. And there's a tendency in all of us to run after all of our different rabbit trails and our sinful nature. This original sin is uncontrollable, and we always need to be brought back to the cross. And you know, we got to think about it from the cross, that at the cross of Christ, it's really a collision of sinful mankind and a righteous God. And so when we see at the cross this collision of sinful mankind and a righteous Lord, Lord God, we see the death of a Savior that appeases that, that swallows up this sin for us. We see this, the death of our sin. We see the words and hear the words, "It is finished." And so it is a word that we constantly need. I'm thinking of it, is it Ambrose? I think he says, because we daily sin, we daily need the medicine. And so I just to assume the cross, assume that we have it, and to move beyond that to bigger and better things, or supposedly bigger and better things, I think is very misguided. I know for myself, I just absolutely love coming to divine service on Sundays, you know, as a pastor, to receive from the liturgy. It is just phenomenal to be able to pray the prayers that we have in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, to hear the liturgy about Christ slain for us, this holy Savior that dies for us. It is a message that we constantly need. And so individuals that want to move away from the cross or beyond to something else, I think the best construction is they're very misguided indeed.
You quoted a Lutheran of a previous generation, Hermann Zase, earlier, and it got me thinking about not how the cross constricts the church's worship or limits the church's worship, but in fact invigorates it, expands it into all of Holy Scripture, enables the preacher now to preach the whole counsel of God, because he has a way of preaching Christ from the whole counsel of God. Talk about the role that the liturgy has played and still plays in the life of the church in keeping the church focused on the cross of Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, it's been told to me, and I'm sure, you know, listeners here in Issues, et cetera, I've heard it times, many times before, and I find this a great deal of comfort, that the liturgy protects the church from me as a pastor and my failings. It protects the church when I have a bad sermon, or maybe a multitude of bad sermons, by keeping our eye on Christ and delivering Jesus to us. And so there's a great deal of comfort in that, in the liturgy maintaining and delivering the forgiveness of sins to the congregation, regardless of where the pastor might be. And so there's that remarkable consistency of doing that. And, you know, even something as simple as this, the divine service, that was a foreign concept to me, that we go to church to be served by the divine, that the Lord serves us. I mean, that is huge. And to come into the sanctuary and to hear that God serves us is just remarkable compared to going to church to give our best to God. And so that he comes to serve us. Well, how and why does he serve us? He serves us because he has accomplished everything for us on the cross through his death for us, and in saying that it is finished. And so, you know, when it comes to the cross, it is just rich in theology, as you've shared here before. you know, we see at the cross, we see all sorts of blessings, such as, you know, the forgiveness of sins. We hear, like I said before, that the wrath of God has been satisfied, that we have been promised everlasting life, that as Christ dies, that we die in him, that we are washed in the waters of our baptism, and as he has risen from the grave, that we are promised to be like him and rise unto eternal life, you know, at the great eschaton. So, yeah, the liturgy just encases all of this, along with the sermon. It encases all of it in just a wonderful gift to the receivers of the church.
How would you honestly describe that? You said, you know, the former days of going to church to give our best to God. What was that? What was that like?
It was very depressing. You know, to be honest with you, very depressing. I can recall having a conversation with an individual in the church, one of my previous churches, where we did not have the divine service, and it was basically looking at the service after we're all said and done, and the conversation basically went like this. You know, I sure hope we gave our best to God, and I sure hope he was pleased with us today. And it left us with doubt. Did we sing enough? Did we worship him enough? Did we please him enough? Whereas when you look at the divine service that we have in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we come in and right out of the gates, we admit that I, a poor and miserable sinner, have failed you in thought, word, and deed, and we come before God confessing that he's completely just, that he's completely just to damn us for our sins. And then we hear, I get choked up even thinking about this, these powerful words, instead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, you are forgiven of your sins. I forgive you. Man, right out of the gates, we hear that we have failed and that God is there, merciful for us and to us with the forgiveness of sins. And the reason why it all comes back to what he did on the cross for us.
With only 30 seconds here, Matt, what's the danger? Just be flat out honest. What's the danger of moving beyond the cross? 30 seconds.
Bluntly, we lose Christ. We lose the church. You know, we can have Jesus, but we do not need a crossless Jesus. We need a bleeding and dying Jesus for us. And so, you know, without the cross, without what Jesus did at the cross, I would argue that you cease to have Christianity. And if we cease to have Christianity, we are lost and damned in our sin. But in Christ, in Jesus Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins, the promise of everlasting life, and complete and total assurance that he is for us.
Dr. Matt Richard is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Gwinner, North Dakota, author of a blog post for Worldview Everlasting, Do Lutherans Need to Move Beyond the Cross? You'll find a link to that under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Matt, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, it was a great privilege, Todd. Thank you.
Folks, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, is preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors and deaconesses for the 21st century. You can find out more at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. In hour two of Issues, Etc., we're going to spend some time with Dr. Robert George, professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University and visiting professor at Harvard Law University Law School, talking with him about a third form of atheism. He has recently written about Victoria Beeching, a popular Christian music artist who has come out as gay. And he says, well, her admission does betray a third form of atheism. We'll talk about what that means in the second hour of the program. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be our guest. We'll talk about a new study on sexual relationships before marriage, and we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. I'm Todd Wilkin, Dr. Robert George of Princeton University, right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 602-362-2234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.